shit.
He's off his fucking rocker.
I can't hear a damn thing. I don't know what's going on.
Good. I'm in a Rob Zombie mood.
Apparently.
I'm in a fucking Rob Zombie mood.
Yeah, you are. He came in hot today.
Came in hot. And you know what else is today?
What else is today?
Technically. The first ever Fright Night episode on the Blackcraft Network.
We're here. Oh, snap. We are here. It is. Technically, you're right.
Technically, we're here.
Yeah, we made it.
We have made it.
A year later. Over a year later.
Yeah, yeah, but no.
Over 100 plus episodes.
Oh, that's crazy.
It is actually crazy to think about.
That's content.
How's everyone enjoying the network so far? What do you guys think of it?
Are you asking me?
Yeah,
I love it.
I'm enjoying the fuck out of it.
That artist spotlight show was great.
Oh man, I'm so excited. I got to see that behind the scenes because I was.
You got to see everything behind the scenes.
I did get to see the show
behind the scenes.
I did.
You're seeing it all.
How do you feel about everything?
I feel great about everything, man. It feels like it's been a. You know what I like about this?
What?
It feels very simple.
Yeah.
Even though how hectic everything is with like all these different shows and personalities and
me.
Art, like art and marketing and like there's so much to it.
Yeah.
But this feels so much simpler. And what I've learned is when things are simple, they work.
I agree.
When you complicate shit.
Yeah, don't overcomplicate anything.
It don't work.
Just go with the flow.
Hey, we're here talking Rob Zombie, Fright Night. Devil's Rejects.
This is our second Rob Zombie movie that we are reviewing. Would you say? I can't hear anything. What did you do?
It's our second one.
I know. What was the first one? Anybody
House
remember?
Of a Thousand Corpses.
Oh, that was a fun one.
It was good.
I got one for you guys because I'm in a Rob Zombie fucking mood.
Oh, hit me.
I'm in a mood.
Yeah, you are.
Next thing we do.
Mm-hmm.
Three from Hell.
Three from Hell. So we're going all in.
Three from Hell, but we're Patreon doing the exclusive.
Oh, I love
Patreon
that.
Patreon fucking exclusive.
Patreon fucking exclusive for Three from Hell.
Patreon.com/blackcraftcult.
You got two free? Pay for the third.
Patreon.com/blackcraftcult.
You know, I like the way you think.
Patreon.com.
Blackcraft Cult.
Patreon.com.
Blackcraft Cult.
Done.
Blackcraft Cult.
Sign up.
Come join us. Network. We are giving away so much shit.
Can I be honest?
I've done a giveaway pretty much every day.
Out of all the years we've done Blackcraft just through Instagram, I've never seen so many giveaways in my life.
Next is going to be the fucking warehouse getting given away.
Next, I'm going to give away the company.
Hey.
I'm a part of this company, though.
Exactly. You go with them.
You go with it. I go with it, too. Fuck it. But hey, I'm excited, man. This is a celebratory episode. First ever Fright Night episode on the network. We're in some really good company. We got some great fucking shows. Definitely tune in tomorrow because you got Glitz, Glamour, and Ghost.
Oof,
you got Death tomorrow.
Ooh, I'm excited.
There's a lot of big things happening here on the network.
Oh, so Death was moved?
Death's on Friday now.
Okay, I love it.
Yeah, Death's on Friday.
Love it.
So stay tuned for tomorrow. Harper's first episode is a 12 out of 12, and Death's first episode is a 12 out of 12. This is the way to kick it off. This is, you know, technically Thursdays are kind of the new Fridays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you feel me.
Yeah.
Thursday. Thursday. Forget it. Thursday, Fright Night.
Thursday,
Fright Night. So we're here talking Devil's Rejects.
Yes, we are.
I said get into it.
When was the last time you guys watched this movie?
I've seen it quite a few times. It's probably been 4 or 5 years since I've watched it, probably.
Okay.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute for me. I will say when we reviewed House of a Thousand Corpses, because I go in Rob Zombie moods, like I get in moods. I do think I did stay up late one night and watch Devil's so probably like a year or two ago.
Yeah.
So not that long ago.
I haven't seen it since it came out.
Really?
Yeah.
That's because you're a fucking hater.
I'm not a hater. Who said I was a hater?
Me. Fucking hater.
You're a fucking hater.
You know, I'm not a hater.
How do you not see that movie since it came out? That movie came out when? What year did it come out?
I don't know. Well, it came out 2005.
Okay.
Oh, this is fucking 20 years.
I got shit going on.
I don't know.
I was a junior in high school when this movie came out.
Name me three things.
I know you're full of shit because you talk about all these other movies. Oh, I've watched it six times. Like,
personal life, family.
You're just a hater.
I live out in California, which is really hard.
As you just went and saw like the same movie three times in the theater. Okay. You don't
What movie did I see three times in the theater?
Some shitty film you were talking about.
What?
Hey, did you get a haircut?
No, but they called me Jimmy Neutron earlier. I don't even know what I did, but they just called me Jimmy Neutron, and now I can't get that out of my head.
You know, something that goes kind of common, we said it the other day, something about Mary. They both got their hair sticking up so, like that.
Yeah, first, it's something about Mary. Now it's Jimmy Neutron. I can only imagine what other character I'm going to be
next. I have noticed
next.
You quit wearing the Bucky's clothes.
No, I haven't quit wearing it. I just don't wear it around you anymore because you made such a spectacle out of it last time.
Oh, you made the spectacle out of it by wearing it.
I did not make a spectacle. I simply wore them.
He's not lying.
And I was happy and I was free and you guys made me feel insecure for wearing them. So, I don't know. I love Bucky's.
Well, that's your own fault for getting
insecure. Shout out to all my Bucky fans out there. If you,
Jake,
if you know who you are, you know who you are. What?
Would you get a Bucky's tattoo?
Absolutely not.
Hey, that reminds me what we were talked about before. Bobby, what? Would you join us? Me and Bobby are going to get tattoos.
Oh. Okay.
Let's talk about this.
Wait, you did not tell me about this.
We did not tell you about it yet.
Okay,
but
what?
Okay. Let's make a pact right now.
Oh, well, come on. It has to be like something I would actually want on my body.
Well, then you're not going to want to make this pact.
You're either in or you're out before we tell you the idea.
I only have one little dinky tattoo on my ankle, so I got to be very careful with what my next move is.
All right, let's make a deal.
Okay, what?
Since Dusty and I are covered.
Yes, yeah, exactly. You can hide this tattoo you're about to get.
Hold on.
Okay, what?
Ours could be as big as we want it, as small as we want it, whatever. I think Jake... His should be like a quarter size. Like whatever we do, it's a small one, but we got to make a pact right now.
But it has to be the same exact tattoo for everyone.
No, we're going to. Maybe. I don't know.
I thought it was going to be like, you know, a pact. When you say a pact, I'm thinking we all get the same tattoo.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah. All right, we're going to go into AI.
Aw. I don't want an AI tattoo. I don't want an AI tattoo.
We're just going to let AI just generate a tattoo for us, and we're all going to get it.
Yeah, but what's the theme?
We're just going to type
gonna
in.
We're going to ask tattoo. I'm going to do it right now. Let me do it right now.
No, that could literally be anything.
That's why we want to do it.
What if it's like a super detailed tattoo?
And the best thing is,
I can't fit that in a quarter size.
I don't want to see it before. I want to be blindfolded and just see the tattoo when
it's
done. I don't
want to be blindfolded. I want to know what nonsense you're going to be putting on my skin for the rest of my life.
Jake, you could die tomorrow. Who gives a fuck?
It's an AI tattoo. I don't want to die tomorrow.
Here we go.
I'm not getting some of the tattoo
insane
just
AI
because
art
I think
that's
I might
been
die
made
tomorrow.
Out there?
What was that?
Have you seen how insane some of the AI art is out there?
No.
It's fucking unreal.
All right, here we go. It's
no,
making
I have
it right
not,
now.
Dusty. Oh, God, here we go. Why don't you just go to ChatGPT and be like, hey, what's a cool tattoo design?
I can't wait to see what it comes up with.
What are you
with.
Doing?
I'm talking ChatGPT.
Oh, I thought you were going to go to AI.
ChatGPT.
Yeah, but
AI.
They don't produce images,
yes,
do they?
Yes, they fuck they do.
I didn't know that. Is that a subscription end?
Hey, nice plug. Our first sponsorship, ChatGPT.
Imagine. Hey,
oh,
we'll
that would
get
be
there.
Wild.
Okay.
Oh, boy. I don't
It'll
know, man.
I think this is a great fucking idea.
Hold on. If I were to get the tattoo, I'd put it in like a discreet area.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to start working on this tattoo now, and soon you'll see a blank tattoo design that will look great on your blank.
Oh, ooh. Well, that could mean anything. It better be in an appropriate spot.
I wrote back. I said, thanks.
You always want to be polite to AI. You never know what they're capable of.
We're so polite to AI, it's insane.
Anyway. Hey, AI's here. Embrace it. Embrace it, people.
So how long does it take for it to generate an image?
Well, it depends. Usually it's really quick. AI's being a little difficult right now. I don't know. They might be sleeping.
Hey, might need cheated on.
No way.
I'm going to cheat.
Should it be a Rob Zombie movie or a Rob Zombie tattoo?
I would get a Rob Zombie tattoo.
Fuck yeah, I would.
It's funny, actually. We actually on Artist Spotlight, we were playing Living Dead Girl, the band. Mm-hmm. And that's a Rob Zombie reference. Rob Zombie? Wait, what zombie?
Wow, fucking one of the zombies.
Living Dead Girl. No, it's Rob
yeah,
Zombie.
Yeah, I think so.
Rob Zombie.
That's totally a living. So I discovered that song through a Twisted Metal game. Remember Twisted Metal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember Twisted Metal.
Yeah. Oh,
that was,
yeah.
Did you get a Twisted Metal tattoo?
No, I think my next tattoo was going to be a Bjork tattoo.
I'm not wrong with that.
I love Bjork.
Not wrong with that. I like Bjork, too.
Another one was Marcel the Shell.
What the
fuck
is
that? What the fuck is that?
If you don't know
about AI,
if you don't know, it's not for you. If you don't know, it's not for you.
But you wouldn't get
an
A24
movie though.
Which one?
Marcel the Shell.
It was a movie.
Yeah, it's based off a little old YouTube short about an adorable, cute shell that talks really adorably.
I'm not going to lie to you. I thought you were going to reference a porno.
Marcel the Shell?
Yeah.
Sounds like a porno to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Now if we're talking Debbie Does Dallas, now we're talking.
Is that the only link you have? Is it sounds like DDD. Debbie Does Dallas?
I'll do DDD as my tattoo. Debbie Does Dallas. No, DDD.
DDD?
Debbie Does Dallas.
DDD.
Have you ever seen Debbie Does Dallas, Jake?
No, I've never seen it. I've always heard about it from you two.
You should watch it tonight and maybe we'll let you review it.
I'm not watching Debbie Does Dallas. I know what it's about.
Yeah, she goes on a mission in Dallas as an undercover cop.
No, she goes and does Dallas. That's from what I've gathered.
Not lying. Hey, on the rails. Okay. Fright Night. Devil's Rejects.
Fright Night. So
Jake's a hater.
I'm not a hater.
He's
shut
hating.
Up. We're not even hater. We're not even there yet. So, yeah, we're doing Devil's Rejects, which is a sequel to the
House of a Thousand Corpses.
House of a Thousand Corpses. Mm-hmm. And then this is the second of three, which is Three from Hell, which we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And yeah, this one's going to be interesting for me because I absolutely adored House of a Thousand Corpses. I think I said on that episode a year ago that me and my brother have a shared love for this movie.
Oh, cool.
So The Devil's Rejects, which is a completely, for me, a very different tone in film. It hits a little bit different than House of a Thousand Corpses, so I can't wait to dissect it. Do you guys have any housekeeping you want to talk about before we go into the review?
No, just
follow the network.
Make sure you're following the network on Instagram at Blackcraft Network.
Yep,
we're posting a bunch of shit on there, a bunch of giveaways. Come follow us on Patreon. Come subscribe to Patreon. There's a lot of content on Patreon going out right now, especially for subscribers.
We did like 43 giveaways last Tuesday.
It's fine. Not kidding.
Not kidding. It's just nonstop giveaways. All right, let's get into The Devil's Rejects from 2005. Starring Sid Haig, Sherry Moon Zombie, Bill Moseley, William Forsythe. William Forsythe. Directed by Rob Zombie. The movie length is 107 minutes. I know. Go ahead. I don't have my headphones on, so I don't know what sound effects you're using right now. But
you've been chipmunked this whole time.
I hope not.
Oh
my god! No one would ever get through this episode.
It's okay. We'll be all right.
Oh boy. Rotten Tomatoes score. Critic score 54% and audience score 78%. Not surprising that the critic score is more on the divisive side. Actually, the audience score is kind of a little bit surprising to me. I know this movie is really highly regarded in the horror community, so I am interested in knowing, you know, a lot of the elements that people really love about this movie. The budget is $7 million. And the box office was $16.9 million. Now, why did I think that he did a lot better than that?
I mean, that's a lot of money. That's really
it
good.
But then you look at like Hills Have Eyes. That did like $70 million or something like that. I just thought this kind of movie would have done a lot better considering the status that he created from House of a Thousand Corpses. And wasn't this the movie that landed him the Halloween franchise? Correct.
I think you're right. I mean, to be honest with you, coming off House of a Thousand Corpses. That's a great fucking movie. Fucking movie.
That movie's bonkers, which I love bonkers.
And you know, you are right about this, actually. That's a lot of fucking money. But it is kind of weird because that era, early 2000s, 2004, 2005, 2006,
I feel like
they were fucking, I was going to movies all the time.
If you're talking about pushing the boundaries for horror films, I feel like the 2000s were the decade for it because, you know, just getting off of the review for Hills Have Eyes, we were discussing in that episode about how brutal horror films were during this era, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a lot of brutality and torture. Type style of violence.
And there's a lot of torture in this film too. So it's right along that.
The Hills Have Eyes.
Yeah. The Hills Have Eyes. Yeah. All that.
All that shit.
Yeah. This torture is gnarly in this film.
Not as gnarly as Hills Have Eyes.
No.
So,
but there's still some in
on streaming, sure. You can go onto Amazon and it costs Will 99.
Yep. There we go. On brand.
So, if anybody's not sure what Will 99 means, it means any price that Will is paying for.
Because
his Amazon's linked to our TV.
Wait, didn't you tell me that he got caught onto us or something?
No,
like
he didn't catch on, but I saw a notes on his, because Will runs Smoke Blackcraft. And I saw a notepad that he had, and his first thing on his list was cancel Amazon Prime.
He's probably like, damn, Prime's getting the price go up or down.
I mean, he's got to be $50, $60 a month from us, easily, minimum.
Well, we're doing about 8 movies a month, and every single one of them, I think, requires me to buy it off Amazon, so... I feel like.
Thanks, Will.
Mm. We appreciate you, Will. And
thanks for not paying
attention.
We don't
do this on purpose. Actually, no, we do, because there's another movie that was for free. Wasn't up for free on Hulu.
We still bought it.
We still bought it on Amazon.
We got to stay in all one place, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, Will, we love you so much. Mm-hmm. But also, fuck Will.
The best part to that, right, is because Dusty had one job again on this, right? I was like, Dusty, just find it for free. And he's like, okay. He's like, well, it's on Amazon. I'm just thinking, like, you looked, you know? And he buys it. And I was like, oh, I thought it was free somewhere. You're like, I don't know. I didn't look. It's free anyway because it's Will's.
It's Will 99, which means free for us.
You're not wrong
at all.
I mean, he's technically not wrong.
I feel like we've gotten lazy. We don't even try anymore. We just go to Amazon. We're like, we're just going to pay for it.
Well, we don't have to. Will does.
That's fair.
Well, also, I'm just over finding out, like, if we go through Hulu, if we go through, like, freaking HBO Max, you have to buy, like, a subscription to watch a film anyways. It's just getting out of hand.
It is getting out of control. Like, I thought we were smart outsmarting, like, cable, mm-hmm. but now I spend way more money on apps and shit, dude.
But it's like it's not all just like one single bill, so it makes me feel a little better, you know?
Yeah, it hits different times of the month. Yeah. Shit. You don't want to see my OnlyFans bill. Between OnlyFans and Prize Picks, my betting app, it's bad.
You have OnlyFans?
I don't have OnlyFans. I mean, I have OnlyFans to subscribe.
Yeah, we look at other chicks.
I don't have an account.
Well, hey, before we get into this whole Fright Night thing real quick, I do want to play something, and I do want to call Dusty out on something really fucking funny.
Wait, call him out on what?
Oh, boy. So, Dusty's been violently high lately.
To the point where it's almost cartoonish.
Kind of. And he forgot to plug in a microphone. Dusty's forgot to plug in cables. Dusty
like
forgot
that.
Your headphones.
Yeah, he did forget my headphones.
Yeah, you have no headphones today, Jake.
Yeah, so Jake has no idea really what we're saying.
I sound like a chipmunk.
I want to play everybody a little voice note that I got from Dusty last night.
Oh, dude, you sent this to me last night. Bro. I was freaking.
No, dude.
Oh, my God. This is the funniest clip ever.
I was so high. And I want to give a little thing here, a little background. So Dracula is my French bulldog that when I travel or whatever, Dusty usually takes him, right? So he's usually with Dusty, right? Well, Dusty knew that I was leaving town, but I didn't leave just yet, right? So I had Dracula. Like, Dracula was not with Dusty. I just want to make that clear. Okay. Then I want to make clear is I'm on the phone with someone, right? And it's like late at night, and I'm on the phone. And I'm like, oh,
let
Dusty,
me look and see what time this was while you're telling this.
Now, I'm fucking violently high, okay? But I'm not with
Dusty. You texted me 3 times to remind me how violently high you were yesterday.
But Dusty was like at his house. So I'm at my house, right?
9:26.
That's it? Bro, it felt like it was 4 in the morning. I was like, why did he text me at 4 in the morning this? That was like 9:26.
9:26.
Okay.
So, I thought this was 4 a.m.
Okay, so I'm on the phone and I fucking lose my mind, right? And the chick's like, dude, what is wrong with you? I was like, I couldn't even say the words. I couldn't breathe. Like, I could not catch my breath. Bro, if there was a camera in my bedroom, I'd be 51-50. I was on the ground, on my fucking knees, curled over, like, grabbing my stomach to, like, and then I had to do the downward dog, like, the yoga pose, because I had a cramp in my stomach from laughing so hard. Then I get into bed, and I'm like, okay, it's calming down. My leg cramps up. Bro, I'm laughing so hard. The girl's like, you are a fucking psychopath. She's like, she's high too. She's freaking out. Like, she's like, you're just weird. I'm like, no, I'm going to send you this voice note. I send her the voice note, bro. She checks out, right? So then my dream, what I've always wanted to do was like scary movie. Uh-huh. When Ghostface is like, what's up? You know? And they're all high. And I always wanted to like three-way in and like do that shit. I was like, we got to fucking three-way Dusty right now. He picks up the phone, and I got the chick on the other line. It's a three-way right now.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
He starts laughing. He starts laughing so fucking hard when he answers the phone. He don't even say hi. Bro, I check out. She checks out. We laugh for probably no. Well, maybe I'm exaggerating. If that was like 9 o'clock, it felt like 45 minutes.
I think we did laugh for 45 minutes.
Like straight. Like there's no talking.
And I wish I was a part of this phone call.
I'm going to play the voice note and then we're going to Devil's Rejects. Sorry.
This is I want to hear it because I need to hear it.
All right, hold on. I'm going to turn the volume up because we don't want to miss anything.
My hat is sitting on my bed behind me. And I reached back and patted it because I thought it was fucking Drac.
Wow. You thought the snapback?
I gotta paint this picture here, okay?
Oh my god.
I went home and we played Call of Duty and got high as fuck.
We did.
So I couldn't. We probably played for that. We would have been playing for like 4 hours if that was only at like 9 o'clock, right? So we get done playing. I'm like, ooh, I'm gonna put on The Office. I'm gonna go get a snack and I'm cruising and I'm just gonna be set, right?
Right.
So I go upstairs. I get my snack, rice cakes with fucking almond butter on it. About to go the fuck off on it, and I enter my room. And when Drac stays with me, he'll just lay there at the edge of the bed while I play video games. So I see my hat laying there at the corner of my eye. I'm cooking. I'm just like, what's up, buddy? And I just like walk past him. I sit down and I just reach back to get my old pet, and it like collapsed. And I was like, that's a fucking hat. I was like, where's Drac? And mind you, I start losing it laughing and I can't breathe.
Right.
I'm in tears.
Right.
I was like, I can't call. I was like, he's probably asleep. I was like, I got to tell you this. So I just sent a voice note because that was the only thing I could think to do because I couldn't talk.
I'm so happy you did
that.
Wait,
is Drac even with you?
No. Drac was here with me. That's what makes it even crazier.
I was so high. I was just like thinking it was the weekend and I had him because it was darker in my room. I saw it. I'm cooked out of my mind.
Holy shit, bro.
Oh, that was an unreal moment.
You need therapy, man.
Hey, smokeblackcraft.com.
Scientists should be studying.
Weed is my therapist.
Bats 20. Bats 20 for a discount code. Bats 20. Smokeblackcraft.com.
It'll get you like that.
Sorry, Jake. We derailed you completely.
No, you didn't derail me. I mean, I wish I could get that height without freaking out.
You're going to tonight.
Yeah.
Let's get into it here, Jake. Let's talk. I'm in a Rob Zombie mood. Let's go.
Yeah, you are.
It's Thursday.
Yes.
Let's go.
It's Thursday. We're going to the Fright Night footnotes.
You might be high.
I might be a little high right now.
Go ahead.
So if you haven't seen the movie, where the hell have you been for 20 years?
Because honestly, you've been living under a fucking rock.
If you're listening to a horror movie podcast and you have not watched The Devil's Rejects, that's just kind of wild to me. So yeah, if you haven't seen the movie, obviously go watch the film and then... Yeah, don't stop listening, actually, because Bobby doesn't like it when I tell people to tune out.
Watch our review and then go watch it and see if you agree.
Oh, that's a great idea. I like that idea.
That's a better idea.
Mm-hmm. Moving forward, a naked body is being dragged through the woods by Tiny. Does anybody remember who Tiny was from the original one?
The Hills of Eyes.
Is he in the Hills of Eyes?
No, I just made that
up. No, he's in the
Hills. He looks like he belongs in it.
I mean, he may have been in that movie, but no, he's from the House of a Thousand Corpses in the first film. While the Firefly family sleeps, the state police surround the house as the gunfight ensues, leaving most of the Fireflies massacred, while Baby and Otis flee and Motherfly is captured. They soon find a lead to Captain Spaulding as part of the Firefly's homicidal rampages. While Baby calls Spaulding, they go meet up at a local motel to coordinate their next move. Meanwhile, a group of friends are on the side of the highway at a local motel. Baby lures the motel owner while Otis holds him hostage by gun and ambushes the group of people while shooting one of them in the head. Captain Spaulding hijacks a vehicle to meet up with Baby and Otis. Back at the police station, Mama Firefly is being interrogated in dramatic fashion. Otis brings Adam and Roy out to an abandoned ranch to contain previously buried guns, but they fight back, leading to shooting Adam in the neck and beating both of them to death with a piece of dry wood. Back at the motel, Baby is forcing Gloria and Wendy to hit each other. In an attempt to fight back, Baby kills Gloria with the thrown knife into her chest, while Wendy attempts to escape but is caught by Captain Spaulding. Otis enters the motel room with the skinned face of Adam. This seems gnarly. As he finally reunites with Spaulding, Otis proceeds to put the skinned face on Wendy's face. When a maid walks into the room the next morning, Wendy flees in a panic with the skinned face on her head and ultimately is obliterated by a semi-truck. Jesus Christ. Otis, Baby, and Spaulding are traveling and eating ice cream. Why did I put that in? Because this scene related to us. It's a great scene. It is a great scene. I guess that's why I had to put it, because it was just so complete opposite of what the rest of the movie was. Meanwhile, the police called Danny Trejo. And that's just what we called him. Call Danny Trejo DDP. Is that right?
Yeah.
DDP. Yeah. To hunt them. Back at the station, Sheriff John kills Mama Butterfly with a knife. The trio makes it to the whorehouse and begins a montage party. And then leads to a monologue about chicken fucking.
That was insane.
That was the craziest dialogue I think I've ever heard in a film.
It reminded me of ICP chicken hunting.
Ew. We got a whole story.
Really
on that
reminds
for you,
me of just a night of hanging out with you guys. Not saying that you're doing it, just the shit that you talk about. The hired killers enter the whorehouse.
I've never talked about fucking a chicken in my life.
I'm just saying that's not what I am implying.
That kind of is what you implied.
No, I'm just saying your conversations are crazy. That's all I was implying.
Well, I guess if you hang out with us, he was the one asking them if they were doing the chicken fucking. So, yeah, that would make sense.
Yeah, that's true.
There we go.
Okay,
now we're back on track.
Okay, Jimmy Neutron.
The hired killers enter the horror house, killing them off one by one. Otis, Spaulding, and Baby are captured and taken back to their house. Sheriff John gives them a little monologue, tortures them, and catches the house on fire. Leaving Sherry Moon to flee, the sheriff begins chasing her, killing Charlie with an axe, shooting her in the leg and strangling her. But Tiny grabs the sheriff from behind and breaks his neck. Baby saves Otis and Spaulding from the fire and drives off and collides head-on with the police, shooting as Free Bird plays in the background and credits roll. Bam.
The ending's gnarly.
This movie is sheer chaos. It's so impactful.
This movie is so... just chaos.
Very chaos. This is like the second movie that we've talked about in the month of like an ode to Texas Chainsaw Phil.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. The beginning alone. The intro? Yep. Yeah.
And the mask, like when he wears it.
I feel like Rob Zombie is definitely wearing his influences on his sleeves in this film. You can definitely tell just by the cinematography, the grainy nature of the film. And just, you know, the brutality of the deaths, which is very, like, old school horror from the 70s.
I got this conspiracy theory
about
Rob Zombie.
What is the conspiracy theory of Rob?
I guess it won't work.
No, I want to know. I'm curious. Will it work or not? I want to hear it.
It won't work because I was going to say... This is like a guy that died in, like, the 70s and then came back to life.
Well, I mean, he was raised in the 70s, wasn't he?
I don't know. What year was he born?
I have not a clue.
Who, Zombie?
Yeah.
He's a little bit older.
Yeah, he's older. He's on the older side, I believe.
I say he's got to be like...
But I'm saying I had this...
50, 60s.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So maybe he died in the 70s and this is him coming back to life.
You know, that's always a possibility. That's also crazy what you just said.
Could be a good conspiracy.
Where do you think I would...
I just think Rob is like from the 70s. Like, I think he was born in the wrong era.
Oh, like mentality-wise?
I'm saying, like, you know, if there's, like, past life shit, I don't know if there is or there isn't. I'm just saying. Maybe Rob fucking died in the 70s and he got reborn in the 70s and this is him.
What do you think my previous life was?
You don't want to know that.
Let's talk about the plot of the movie. What were your guys' thoughts on the plot? Like, how the movie progresses?
I love it. I love that it's, like, it picks up from House of a Thousand Corpses kind of feel, right? Mm-hmm. You know, at that time, I remember watching it, you know, in 2005, 2006.
Yeah, it was 2005. Yeah.
The plot of the movie is incredible, right? Because you got these three badasses. They're so, like, relatable, but they're so not. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, I don't know. There's a vibe to it.
There's just, like, no fuck given.
There's no fuck given. That's a good way to put it. Pure fucking chaos. Really cool fucking characters. The plot's cool. The scenes are cool. And the ending, to me, was so cool because I love that Freebird song playing. And it's all like peaceful drive through like the was like the mountainside, I guess you call it, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, at the end when they run into the cops. It's funny though, for the plot of this, I thought it was over after this. I thought they died.
I mean, it's to me, we were just talking about this.
Right.
To me, it was heavily insinuated that they do not survive this. And
yeah,
honestly,
you don't survive a police shootout.
Police shootout. There's no way in hell I could even imagine that they would survive that predicament. So when I did hear that Three from Hell was coming out when it was first announced, I was like, wait a minute. Got a little bit confused there.
But I will say, like Dusty was saying earlier, you can survive gunshots and stuff. But also, too, you know, I'm thinking about it now, too. It's pretty genius of what Rob did, because they don't really want these guys to be dead, because they want to question them. And there's answers, because there's family members that got killed and stuff. So they probably want some answers, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Probably better off alive than dead.
In the movie, though, that one, the main sheriff did say, he's like, I want them fucking dead.
Yeah,
well,
true.
I mean,
But that was him trying to do it. And now, obviously, I don't think he probably talked to the whole fucking precinct about that.
Yeah.
You know, so obviously not everyone would want them dead. So, yeah. But I like with the name Three from Hell, they came back from the dead now.
Yeah,
like,
I see what Rob Zombie did,
you know,
there.
They're these fucking insane characters that are just all about violence and chaos. And the fact that they didn't die from that kind of makes it make sense.
Oh, I get that. I think for me, for the plot, I actually, for a movie that was back from 2005, I do like the idea that it takes perspective of the villains. You know, like this movie, you know, the first movie, House of a Thousand Corpses, you're kind of on the perspective of the victims, right? Mm-hmm. The people who need to survive, the final girl, all of that. You're rooting for them. And then this film, you're literally taking the perspective of the Fireflies, and you're literally behind them with the carnage and watching what they're doing. And for me, I have a heart. I think the plot's actually great, especially for its time, because it is a new perspective for people to have with a horror film. It's hard for me, because I usually don't ever sympathize, obviously, with people like the Fireflies. But the approach that they took in adding like little nuanced scenes where they're like getting ice cream and they're just kind of like acting like families. I do like how Zombie tried to like add a little bit of relatability in between the horrible things that they're doing to these people, you know?
And it's like the characters know that they're doing bad.
Yeah.
And they just don't care, because they're still out trying, just doing regular day stuff. Like Captain Spaulding just sitting there smoking a joint.
I love that.
You know, the sheriff breaks in.
Or that hilarious,
no care.
Or the fact that he's having like hilarious like sex dreams and then waking up and fighting him.
Oh, yeah. I love that. So
this movie had a lot of like good comedy spots in it. Didn't make it cheesy.
I do have to add to that, because of the barbarianism that like occurs in this film, it's actually very crucial that there's like moments of levity and humor right there, because this movie would be, for me, because I know what I can handle, it would probably be a little bit too much if it was just straight hardcore the whole time, you know?
And it gives it that feel of, you know, like they are actually insane, because someone that insane and unhinged, they're just going to do shit like that. That's like normal, like eating ice cream while they just fucking got out of a shootout.
But they're still
like,
insane.
Yeah, they're still insane and it can flip on any moment, but they still like to do some regular
shit. Let's get into the villain protocol, because this is actually a big factor, because we are taking the perspective of the villains. What were your thoughts of Otis, Baby, and Spaulding? Obviously, they created kind of like a phenomenon with the first film when they were introduced, but in this film you get to know them on a more personable level. And when I say personable, I don't mean you're like getting to learn what their favorite color is or anything like that, but you get to see their angle. What were your thoughts on them and how they were, you know, presented in this film?
I mean, they were presented 12 out of 12. Like, to me, you know, look, I'm a fucking super fan of this franchise. I'm a super fan of Rob Zombie, everything he does, what he's built. I think these characters were so relatable, and if you couldn't relate, you wanted to relate. I don't know if they were like relate. You wanted.
I won't know. Like, so I don't know if they're relatable.
Okay, hold on.
I think
That's the wrong word. Well, no, actually, hold on. Let me finish my full thought. Okay. On this. They're relatable in the sense of like where we grew up, like, you know, the Midwest. Like they look like some people we know. Is what I'm trying to say.
When it comes to relatability, like that, absolutely. Right. So, oh my god, yeah.
So you have that familiarity, at least for me, right?
Yeah.
It's relatable. I could name three people that look just like
just
that,
on
right?
an where aesthetic I grew. Basis. Yes, I agree with you
right.
on that.
But what I'm saying is like what's not relatable, but like it's like the rock star shit, right? Everybody wants to be a rock star, sex, drugs, rock and roll, yeah. right? You want to be a badass like that. Like
you've had people piss you off where you want to beat
totally,
the fuck out of them.
Totally. So the way the characters were portrayed in this and like done was like so perfect because, you know, the chick's super sexy and fun and cute and wild and like going to do whatever it takes to lure someone in to fuck them up, you know?
Yeah.
The only thing I do wish, and I've never said this before, is what? I wish Otis was Rob Zombie.
You mentioned
I really
that at
wish
the beginning,
Rob Zombie was in these films.
Do you think maybe that was intentional when he casted him? That he kind of was kind of
yeah,
almost
maybe.
Role playing for him in a sense.
It could have been a Larry David Kirby enthusiasm Seinfeld because
yeah,
George
I get that.
Reference. You know, maybe. I would like to see
Rob Zombie
in the movie.
Referencing Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's a wild one.
That's but, a wild one.
But I would love to see Rob Zombie in the movie. I think what he has built from a taking a genre, you know, and doing it and then doing these movies.
Yeah.
And just his whole energy, his whole vibe is like insane. So, man, for him to be an actor too would be really fucking dope.
I agree.
What are your thoughts on the three?
I like them. Like Bobby was saying, you know, it's relatable. You know, everyone wants to be that brave in those situations. Like how, you know, Captain Spaulding, when he gets caught, he's just like, you better fucking make sure I'm dead or I'm coming back and haunting you. Like,
yeah.
Most people would be terrified, be like, oh, please don't shoot me. And he's just at the point where he's like, you know what? Fuck it. You're either going to do it or I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
So it makes you want to relate to them, even if it's not, you know, you don't want to obviously go out and murder people, but you want to be that brave and everything. So I think the fucking acting, the character building of everyone, obviously we knew it from the first movie, but
yeah.
they still carry it through very well in this. I think every actor in this movie was fucking fantastic. And it made the characters more believable.
Gotcha. So my perspective on the Fireflies, first off, like I said, because we're taking a different perspective,
mm-hmm.
These three, Otis, Baby, and Captain Spaulding, are deplorable human beings. These are terrible people. And they are so good at going full on just commit to the bit,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I will say this, I do like my horror on the more nuanced level, and these kind of films, like these kind of villains to me can sometimes be a little bit too exhausting for me. That being said, because they committed to the bit, I can't actually talk any shit on them because what they're doing is what maybe a lot of other people would turn down. You know, if they were presented mm-hmm. a script right. You know what
yeah,
I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So
I have to give them their kudos for really just committing to the bit because there's nothing about these characters in a moral sense or even remotely redeemable. But I have to give a special shout out to Captain Spaulding because I feel like he is like up there with like Jason Voorhees. He's up there with Freddy Krueger. There is
yes.
something so hypnotic.
Iconic
mm-hmm. about his screen presence.
You know what
and,
it is?
And I don't mean to overshadow Baby and Otis, but there's something about Captain Spaulding that just sits with you after you watch House of a Thousand Corpses or after you watch Devil's Rejects.
I'll give it to you. It's called star power.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's got star power.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
And it comes down to every aspect of him as an actor, like the way he looks, the way he acts, the tone of his voice, mm-hmm. how he is with the makeup, how he is without the makeup. Like,
yeah, I don't think there's another actor or actress that could play Captain Spaulding.
I feel like he's the epitome of commit mm-hmm. to the bit. And I think that's why so many people like have fallen in love with him and that iconic character. And so I have to give a special shout out for the Villain Protocol to Captain Spaulding.
And I'll tell you what else I think it is too. And Jake, that was very well said, actually. I actually really fuck with
yes.
everything you just said.
Thank you.
If I was intelligent, that's how I would speak.
You are intelligent, Bobby.
But no, you know what?
Don't
you know
shortchange
what
yourself.
Just to add to that really fast here is there's something about clowns that haven't really been done, especially during this. I mean, now Terrifier to me is
Terrifier changed the game.
It's different.
It has, but we're talking 20 years later.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
is 2005. During that time, clowns were just kind of like clowns. This clown was like relatable. He could be your uncle. He's a fucking bat. I don't know. There was something about that that was special.
He's your
too,
cool,
you know?
Uncle Spaulding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the guy who comes every once a week, plays cards with your dad, and you're like, man, my uncle's so fucking cool. Yeah, that's Captain Spaulding.
He's the uncle that shows up at the reunion with drugs and fucking. Yeah, he shows you the metal band.
He's the cool uncle that's giving the 17-year-old DJ a beer while he's
drunk.
He took you to Family Values Tour when you were 400, you know?
No, that's a great way of putting it. Let's talk about the protagonist survival guide. So let's talk about, I guess we would call, the potential victim. So I'll start with this one because this one's a little bit hard. There's really no specific focus on the protagonist in this film. I guess the protagonist is supposed to be the sheriff because he wants revenge. But even he, at some point, commits to the same brutality as them. So he goes from being the protagonist who wants to track down these people to then resorting to the same type of brutality as they're resorting to. So as far as the protagonist, first off, no one survives. Everyone that's supposed to be the victim that you hope survives, they all die. I feel like the protagonists anywhere in this film are kind of expendable. They really don't serve more a purpose than to just die.
They were just like a pass through. Like, yeah, they're kind of just a pass through. You're in our way. We're gonna fuck you up.
And I don't think, obviously, this movie is not meant to be about any protagonists. It's supposed to be about the villains.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that they're kind of just this smorgasbord of waiting for them to die. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, whoever they're going to encounter is going to get fucked up.
But speaking of protagonists,
speaking
of protagonists, I want you to talk about this, Susie, because you said you recognize someone who's in a band that happened to be.
Oh, yeah. As soon as it started, the comedian Brian Posehn comes on the screen. I was like, oh, shit, I forgot that he was in this movie because it's been so long since I've seen it. But he's just a comedian, but he did like a super group metal band. Which I thought was
I knew him as a comedian. I never knew about the metal band.
It's like Ian Scott from Anthrax.
It's like a super group, right?
Yeah. There's a couple other people from actual well-known bands that do it with him, and he's like the singer, and it's just like kind of like a funny band, but like a metal band. It's cool.
That's kind of wild to me.
Yeah. We'll play it at the end.
Yeah.
Remind me.
Yeah, we'll remember him being in like other like TV shows, and he always plays like this really drab character who talks like this.
Yeah, like very monotone.
Yeah, very monotone. So it was funny when you told me that. I was like, man, visualizing him fronting a metal band, that's actually the most expressive I could ever visualize this guy being.
What's the band called again, sir?
It's just called Posehn, like his last name.
How the fuck you spell
just
that?
Type in the song name Metal by Numbers, and then you'll
Metal.
See.
Okay.
Another shout out to she was one of the characters in the Horror House. I forget what her name was, but it was the woman who does the voice for, I believe, Tommy from the Rugrats or something.
Oh yeah.
What's her name? What's her freak? I wish I could remember her name. I should have typed it out, but it was so fun to see her in there. And you can kind of hear it in her voice too when she speaks. You're like, oh, she's a voice actress.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Ominous Frequencies. So I mean, the soundtrack, Bobby, you take the lead on this.
Dude, this soundtrack 12 out of 12. I mean, you can't pick. It's so funny. If you could listen a little in background, I have the soundtrack playing. I'm looking at the soundtrack here. Hold on 1 second. Sorry.
Let me pull this up. Don't apologize. While you're looking up the music placement
here,
of the soundtrack, I believe that the score version of the movie was actually pretty effective in this film. But Bobby had a huge appreciation for the song choices that Rob Zombie used.
Dude, you got Joe Walsh. You got David Essex. You got Elvis Bishop, Three Dog Night, Allman Brothers Band, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and more. Those are the ones I know. Kitty Wells, I didn't know.
Ooh. What?
This track. Listen, rock on.
Oh, really? Okay. This is a public episode, remember.
This is from the soundtrack.
Okay. I can't hear anything because Dusty forgot my goddamn headphones.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. I was wondering why Jake was staring at me.
You're literally looking at me like, check this out. I don't have any headphones on me. I don't know what you want me to hear.
But
why didn't you bring yours?
Hey, soundtrack.
Shut up, Dusty.
Soundtrack 12 out of 12. Soundtrack 12 out of 12, and I will give a little recommendation here. A nice night. Pour yourself a nice bourbon.
Uh-huh. Preferably Maker's.
Pull out Maker's 46. Pull out some smoked Blackcraft cannabis. Roll yourself a nice joint and put this playlist on. It's 40 minutes. You got a nice little 40-minute let loose.
Or if you're sober, a LaCroix.
Fuck being
bubbly.
Fuck being
sober.
A little bubbly.
I'm so kidding.
A little ginger ale, maybe.
If you're sober, I'm proud of you.
Yep. Good job.
Maybe some grape juice. Don't listen to me. Let's talk about the death chart.
The death chart's wild.
It's all over the place. This is a huge, huge death chart. And very,
I feel like we don't need to go through all this.
No, but pick. Let's discuss your favorite kills.
Easy.
Dusty, you go first.
I'm gonna talk one scene because I want to. I don't know if it's just a coincidence or what, okay. but the scene when they go for the guns and Otis is beating the fuck out of both of them.
Yeah. Mm.
And as you brought it up earlier, it clicked in my head. You know, he picks up a piece of driftwood and beats the fuck out of him with it. And his last name is Driftwood. Do you think that was any coincidence or just on
That's
accident?
That's not coincidence.
Nah, Rob's thinking.
No, he knows what he's
Rob
doing.
Rob can cook.
He knows what he's doing.
He started
doing.
Talking about beating him with a piece of wood. And I was like, yeah, he picked up that driftwood. And I was like, fuck, that's his last name.
I do.
They like really click for you, huh?
I have to give Rob Zombie a shout out to that.
He's cooking, or we're both cooking.
I do like a little bit of thoughtfulness behind
but
that kind of stuff.
I would have to go with that scene for me because, you know, he's fighting off both of them, and you can tell, you know, if they really were serious about getting out of that situation, they could have.
They could have, for
there
sure.
There was two of
two
them.
Two against one, yeah.
And they just kind of hit him once with a stick, and then
I will tell you this: when the guy tried to choke him with the driftwood, I was like, "Dude, just hit him in the freaking head! Just knock him out in the head! Why are you trying to choke him?"
Yeah, especially from behind. And what's he do? Pulls out a knife and fucking stabs him in the leg.
He pulled out a knife like fucking Michael Myers knife.
Hey, Adam, you set yourself up for that.
Yeah, they both set themselves up to be killed. So it just is what it is. But that whole little fight scene right there, I thought was pretty cool.
Bobby, favorite kill?
My favorite kill's fucking dope. So Wendy.
Oh yeah, Wendy.
I like that. Wendy.
That's gonna be my favorite too.
Oh,
but
I'm sorry.
I'll pick a different one.
I just like that Wendy had the face on the
that scene. Okay,
when the maid walks in, right?
Talk about the cinematography in that scene.
Cinematography was insane because when the maid opens the door to the bathroom, it says like "fuck you, devil's rejects," we're here.
Yep.
And then when she turns around, Wendy's
hung up by the door
with the mat, like with the skin on her face. Right.
Creepy. Yep.
Super Texas Chainsaw.
Creepy. Really creepy.
Super Texas Chainsaw vibes, but then. Because you do know what's coming down the future in a couple years here, Blackcraft Films.
Yep.
Oh, hell yeah. Manifestation.
This scene really inspired me for our movie. So I love how she's like chasing the maid out, like screaming, like, and it's daylight too, which is even more impactful.
If you want to talk about chaos, this is probably to me the most chaotic scene.
Yeah. And then she just gets fucking whacked by a semi. That's really cool.
So I'm going to add to that.
I'm sorry, I took off your.
No. That scene's worth praising because, like I said, when it comes to the grim stuff like that, I have to give, you know, credit where credit's due. The way he filmed that with the camera, it just felt so handheld and so grim. And the chaos of the situation where the girl is obviously in shock and she's running away knowing at any point she could take that dead face off her face and she keeps it
on. I
love
that.
Because I feel like that's just trauma at that point.
Yeah. Oh, you're committed to that.
Yeah, and you're just trying to, she was just trying to get the fuck away.
Speaking
of
the actress who played Wendy, thank you for committing to that bit because that scene was very effective.
You're not lying.
If I had to choose a different one, this is actually kind of tough for me. I would probably go with, I can't choose another one. I'm sorry.
Well,
I can't choose one. That's my favorite one. I'm looking at all. I listed all the deaths and I just can't come close to another one.
I'll let that be your thunder and I'll go to another death that I thought was pretty cool.
Okay. What's that?
The comedian guy. What was his character name? Jimmy?
Oh, because it happened so fast.
But his character name was Jimmy, I think, right?
His character was Jimmy Bullet.
What I really liked about that was He's clearly famous, right? He clearly is a musician. Him and Rob clearly probably know each other through music, through, you know, Anthrax, all that shit, whatever. And I'm like, fuck, this dude's probably going to have like a star role in this. Like, because, you know, you're not thinking, you're just, you recognize the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then fucking like 30 seconds in, he just gets his fucking head blown off instantly.
Dude, instantly.
It was pretty impactful because what I did like about that kill was it let me know, oh, okay. The devil's rejects, they're not fucking around.
Mm-hmm.
They're not fucking around. They're not scared to shoot off a fucking gun. Blow your head off.
And that was the thing, because he, you know, knocked on the door and didn't know what was going on in there. And they could have just, he's like, oh, I think I'm at the wrong door. And they could have just let him leave.
Right.
Yeah.
But he just said, no, you're at the right place. Come on in.
Come on in.
And fucked his day up.
fucked him up.
Sherry Moon did do a good job of being innocent and then completely malicious immediately after.
Her acting of going between those two of like chaotic, like craziness,
yep,
just pure fucking evil,
yep,
to being able to switch that role real quick and be real sweet like she did with her. She's like, well, don't you know my brother is just fucking insane.
She did that in the original too. Yeah, she did it in the first film.
She plays that role so well.
I like it because it reminds me of some girls I've dated.
I was going to say.
Oh my God, Bobby.
Hey, but Sherry Moon's a badass, man. Shout out Sherry Moon. She fucking kills it. She kills it, man.
Damn.
Kills it.
Like a coconut corn husky.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 plus the Firefly family. That's a lot of deaths there. Let's talk about, okay, your favorite element. You have to choose your favorite element of the film.
It could,
like, as I explain in every episode, it could be the cinematography. It could be the soundtrack. It could be the acting. It could be the kills. Dusty, you go first. What's your favorite element?
For me, what made this film so... feel from the 80s, it's just the color scheme of everything. I thought the coloring on this film was incredible.
I have to agree with that. And I think a lot had to do with the fact that he was trying to portray an old school 70s like grimness to it, like grainy grimness, and it kind of like creates a color scheme that makes it feel more old school and dated in a sense.
With that he did in there that really made it feel impactful to me was in those scenes when they would slow it down, it was like a still shot, but it was still just zooming in on it. I think like it was always in like chaotic scenes and they would pause the frame for a second and that opening.
Yeah.
I thought that was fucking great.
Ooh,
I can go next.
Yeah, go ahead. Cause I got to sit and think about
this. Cause I know you admire this movie.
There's so much for this for me.
I'm going to say editing was my favorite element because I feel like the movie at no point felt dull. The way it's edited, he was very creative on screen transitions, sometimes split screens, sometimes the pausing of a scene to add impact to what's going on. The way he edited it, and you can tell when watching this film that he has a background in music videos because there's definitely a music video energy to the editing of the scenes.
Some of those quick cuts.
Yeah, the quick cuts and all that stuff. And I want to give a shout out to that you can see his influence. And so, I'm going to say the way the scenes are edited, how it's edited.
You know, good shout out. The scene in the club there when they're all partying, that's very...
The montage?
Yeah, that montage is very like you would see in a music
video. Very music video. Yeah.
For me, it's the soundtrack.
Hell yeah.
I'm just going to keep it simple. Soundtrack.
It starts off strong and it ends strong.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, I think music is life and you could say so much through music. And I think Rob did such a great job of saying a lot with the characters and everything. But the soundtrack just, you could just have, honestly, the soundtrack was so well thought out. And you could have this movie be no dialogue. And just play the soundtrack and it would speak for the movie. You know what I'm trying to say? It really would.
Yeah.
It really would. It's really gnarly if you think about it.
If you can hear the music and like just see the scenes with no dialogue, you could absolutely feel what was going on.
Right? You could feel the pain. You could feel the hurt. I feel like Rob like has a lot of pain and he channels it in this weird through like these kind of like Allman Brothers songs because... Mm-hmm. I will say, and why I'm relating to this soundtrack so much, like I grew up on this stuff with my dad and my grandfather.
We all grew up on
this. We all did. But there is a weird feeling that when I'm sad or I'm going through some shit, I play this kind of music. It's really weird to me because I guess it reminds me of my childhood maybe or something. Yeah. I can't put my finger on it. And I feel like for Rob, there's some kind of... I could be way off. It could not be true at all.
No, there's like intuitive connectivity. It's almost as if you grew up appreciating the same things in your childhood. In a sense.
I guess that's the way to put it. I could feel the pain whenever Rob's feeling in life and he channels it through a soundtrack. I get that.
I feel pain every day.
You're not lying.
we have finally reached to our lights on, lights off segment of the episode. Who wants to go first for the review?
Lights fucking on.
There's Dusty.
I'm starting it off strong. Lights fucking on. This movie's fucking great. If you've never seen it, I don't know where the hell you've been living, but change that shit.
Bobby wants me to go next.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I'll close it out.
I'm keeping mine short and simple. I like lights fucking on.
Okay. Lights fucking on, Jake. Let's go.
Okay,
where you at?
Here's the deal.
We got one lights on. Let's go.
I from what I've been paying attention to myself, what I've been saying. I've been fairly positive about this movie for pretty much the whole podcast. But I do want to bring up some things that I guess when you have seen a lot of Rob Zombie's films, you notice that there's a certain pedigree to every film. For this film, as much as I really liked the perspective of the Fireflies, like going with their story, it's sometimes just a little bit too grim for me. Sometimes I just don't like chaos for the sake of chaos, and I want a little bit more structure. But that does not take away from the fact that there is impactful things that occur in this film. The dialogue can sometimes be off-putting to me. You guys are laughing at me. Well, I don't even know what sound did you use. Hey, you're making fun of me. Hey, I'm allowed to have a little bit of perspective.
Okay,
that's
fucking
not
hater.
Hater rage. Someone drink their hater rage.
Sometimes, okay. Sometimes the dialogue to me is just very one note, and it just becomes a little bit overwhelming over time because I'm just like, I kind of want a little bit more variety in the dialogue, and it doesn't always have to just be such trashy talk all the time. But I also, I know you're pressing the freaking button that makes crickets, right? Stop.
No,
I know you're pressing the
applauding.
Cricket button.
It's the applaud button.
It's not the applaud button. You. It's the cricket button. Did you?
Hold on one second. Quiet for a second. You hear that?
That is the freaking cricket button, you little shit.
That's your thoughts.
I think it's important. It's important for me to discuss things that don't vibe with me. Cause like I said, and I said this in the House in Hills Have Eyes episode 2 as well. Some movies are just not meant for certain people. And this movie will turn people off just like how the Hills Have Eyes
will
turn.
You lights off this. I'm gonna tell you right now, you lights off this movie. Fright Night's over.
Yeah. Fucking hater.
So let me continue.
I'm just kidding, by the way, you can have an opinion. The best part is he doesn't have no clue what we're talking about.
No.
That being said, is here's the deal.
I feel an uptick coming.
We were talking about chaos the whole time, and I do feel like there was not many hills and valleys in the film, which I started feeling exhausted towards the end of the film. And that being said, the ending did get my interest, especially with the free bird shit. Oh, come on, I got the uptick. What's the uptick again? Where I bring it back on the up and up. Whatever. Here's the deal. If I would have reviewed this movie 19 years ago when it first came out, I probably would have given it a lights off because I would have been turned off by some of the content in it and just the sheer chaos because I do like a little bit more structure when it comes to my films. That being said, this time around, watching it with Dusty and Bobby, and I think it's important to emphasize that this is the kind of horror film you want to watch with friends. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot more fun to be had when watching it with other people, because if I would have watched this by myself, I probably would have had a very different experience. So, I'm going to give this movie by Rob Zombie a lights on.
Ooh. That's right.
But that doesn't mean that I like everything that went on in this movie because there's some stuff that in here just kind of turned me off. But I have to give Rob Zombie his kudos for really pushing the boundaries with this film. And I'm kind of glad to be on the same boat as the both of you because I have a great feeling Bobby is going to give this a lights on. Watch Bobby be the one that gives it a lights off.
No, man. You know this is a lights on from the jump for me. Jake, I can understand that. That's fair. Yeah. You did make a point that I definitely agree with. Watching it with friends is awesome. I think you should always watch every horror movie with friends, to be honest with you.
I watch so many horror films by myself.
what I love about Fright Night when we do this and what I love about horror movies in general and what I love about Rob Zombie, I really connected with Rob Zombie because he was one of the first artists that I ever found as a kid, right? Mm-hmm. White Zombie, yep. Right? Manson, Slipknot, Ozzy, right?
Yeah.
Like Sabbath, right? Zombie was one of those things where I remember my dad bought me the Hellbilly Deluxe CD from Best Buy, you know?
Yep.
I don't even think Best Buy still sells CDs, but that's what I got. And I just remember the artwork, opening up the artwork and just seeing all that shit.
He's multifaceted in his talents. Like he produces everything.
He does. But I remember being like so young and opening up that booklet. And I know I always talk like this on the podcast, but I really mean it. when I opened that booklet and I saw the cover for the first time, right, and I saw the artwork on the CD and just the whole package, it made me feel some type of way.
Yeah.
And I feel like all those bands that I listened to growing up, Slipknot, Manson, whatever, Zombie, whoever it is, it always made me like forget about life, right? Especially like where we grew up with, right? I feel like I related to these artists. So when I'm watching a horror movie, right, it's kind of the same shit. I want to not think about like the day-to-day bullshit that I deal with in business or life or whatever they're going on. I want to just get lost in that TV screen. I don't want to be checking my phone. I don't want to be checking emails. I don't want to be doing shit. Zombie does that for me. He makes me feel some type of way. Like I get lost in his shit. And then I'm like, man, the empire this guy has built, right, I look up to so much. I mean, this guy is so fucking talented on so many levels. And, you know, fun fact, actually, fun fact, this is pretty fucking cool. John Reese, who's my partner on Smoke Blackcraft, actually did a haunted house with him.
Oh, really?
It was
really?
Called The Great American Nightmare. And Blackcraft, Jake, before you started working with us, we actually were like a sponsor of it.
I had not a clue about any of this.
I want to say it was in Pomona.
This was a while ago.
It was definitely John Reese and Rob Zombie for sure. And I want to say Kevin Lyman from Warped Tour was involved. Oh, wow. I'm pretty sure it was those three that were involved. And John Reese knew I was such a big Zombie fan. So when I opened the haunted house in Salem, I was like, John, you got to call Rob. Like, I want to do like a haunted house with Rob Zombie. That's one of my goals.
That's one of my goals for
2024, 2025.
I hope they would let us gain the IP rights. Dude, that would be so sick.
I want to work with Rob Zombie so bad. It's like one of my biggest goals. Like just to like do a haunt with him.
Do you know he has enough filmography to where we could literally dedicate a different room to each like theme of his movies?
Dude, if Zombie was down, I would turn all of fucking... Okay, here's what I'm going to manifest.
What?
For 25, 26, somewhere, whatever year he wants to do it, 27... Because I know he's got movies going to...
No, what are I mean for fucking 25?
25 would be great. No, I just don't know if he has a movie coming out or anything, though. I'm saying, like, when he has a movie coming out, how cool would this be to premiere it in Salem at our storefront?
Yep.
Salem, Massachusetts, by the way, if you didn't know, we have a storefront. And our haunted house is right next door. Whatever the theme of the thing is, turn it into the haunt, okay? And then during the year, when it's not Halloween time, we turn into, like, a Rob Zombie, White Zombie, like, museum. And you get to walk through and see all like the discography and all that shit.
You know, it's a good
pretty
way.
Sick.
Yeah. You already got the. You now have the number one voted haunt in America. So
we actually do. Yeah. Did you know that?
Huh?
Like, I don't know who rates that shit, but like there was some fucking thing we got. It was like the number
one.
I knew
it was number one in Salem, but I didn't know about the America one.
That's some fucking travel
but even
channel
in
person.
Salem, that's
fucking...
a big deal if you think about it. So it's like no, the haunted capital.
You hear that? You're like, okay, let's go.
Or spooky capital.
And I know Rob knows Blackcraft. He's got to know Blackcraft.
There's no way he doesn't.
Well, dude, why don't we do this? Why don't we start Blackcraft Films and we fund his new movie?
No, I want... No, he don't need us like that. I want I want Rob to like co-produce Blackcraft Films with us.
Co-produce.
That'd be insane.
Director, do something.
Executive producer.
Whatever.
That's wild.
One of them.
That would be insane.
That would be so sick.
That would probably be the most violent film ever made.
Hey, this is history. Fright Night. First episode on the network. We're here.
Hey, boys.
Nothing's changed. Dusty's still high. I'm still high.
I have no headphones.
Jake has no headphones.
Nothing's changed. He forgot them.
Great episode. So we are going to do Three from Hell.
Let's do it.
Yes.
Patreon exclusive. Yeah. So if you want, come subscribe. $6.66 a month. Patreon.com/Blackcraft Cult.
If you see the amount of content that you're getting.
You would lose your mind. You would honestly like lose your fucking mind. If you don't like it, fucking cancel
we're gonna
it
be,
the first
We're,
month.
We're literally going to be a television bucks. Station here soon with the amount of content.
Don't
that
buy
we're
one
doing.
Starbucks this month. Subscribe for a month and you'll be like, okay, I've been missing out.
And if you don't like it, cancel it.
Yep.
But do it just for the community, really. The community is so awesome.
I'm telling you. It's good shit. I want to take it out of here with, how do you say the band name? P.O.S.?
Posehn.
Posehn? Metal by Numbers. We're out of here. Enjoy tomorrow. We got Glitz Glamour and Ghosts, Harper Hollywood's debut show, and we got Death DJ show. So you're going to be fucking rocking on Friday.
Beautiful.
Enjoy
Hell
it.
Yeah.
Hey, leave us reviews on Spotify, Apple, please. It helps. We need some reviews.
Oh, yes. We need some fucking reviews. Let's get some reviews.
Let them know.
Positive
let them know
reviews.
Now.
Let them know what's up.
Let them know we're cooking over here.
That term, I swear. You didn't know I was going to get, you didn't think I was going to give it a lights on, did you? You really thought I was going to give it a lights off? You thought
I
was going to be a bitch
give it a lights off. Yeah. I thought you were going to give it a lights
off. You're a fucking hater, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Someone ate his haterade. We're out of here. Enjoy.
Bye.
Have a great weekend.
Hello. Bye.
Metal by numbers, 1, 2, 3, follow these rules.